Lord Jesus Christ, we do humble ourselves before you, recognizing your kingship. And we invite you to rule over our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our wills. We invite you to fill our spirit with your Holy Spirit. We invite you to do a work in us through your word today. Help us to understand what it means that you are our King today. Help us to live as your subjects. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we silence the distractions, the enemy's voice, and we release unto us the blessings of the Lord that we might hear and respond. In Christ's name, amen. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray. He says, pray this way, Our Father in heaven. Well, what's that? That's a relationship. Then he said, Hallowed be thy name. That's worship. Relationship, from that flows worship. And then he said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's about his lordship or kingship, meaning the same thing. We move from this relationship into worship to then recognize his kingship or lordship over our lives. We are part of living that out. Goes on to look at being forgiven and having our daily needs met, and then recognizing we need his deliverance. And then we recognize that he's ruler over it all as we celebrate that his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But it flows from relationship to worship to then recognizing his lordship. And that lordship is not just a future lordship, but it's a present lordship. One of the ways this comes out of the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now the word used there and translated into our daily bread is an interesting word. It's really a rare word in the New Testament, and there's lots of debate as to exactly how to translate it. But it means the sustenance we need continually. It refers to that stuff that you have in order to go on living. Give us our daily requirements. Give us what we need every moment in order to keep on living. So daily bread is a good translation. But it's not just daily bread, because the word bread is not actually there. It's this everything we need to survive, what we need to go on living, what we need to make it through today. Give us today our daily bread. We might say, give us what we need today to keep on having our heart pump. Give us today what we need to breathe. Give us today the resources we need to get to where we need to get. Give us today the warmth in our house on a cold winter's night. Give us what we need. There's this sense of ongoing dependency upon him. Now, the perfect analogy, of course, comes from the story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. For 40 years, they were reliant upon God providing them daily manna. The manna didn't stay around all day. It came in the morning and then it disappeared. And it seemed like if they gathered a whole bunch or a little bit, it was always what they needed for that day. You would think eventually they learned, well, I shouldn't slave away for 5 hours filling up every container I can find when I make it and it's just barely enough to get through the day. And then the next day I go and I gather just a little bit and it's just right for getting me through that day. Eventually they would learn to trust God. Say, oh, I just gather what I need. And I think that's such an important reminder for us. Our King gives us what we need for that day, because he's our daily King. And just as we're not told to gather stuff for 20 years down the road, so we don't think of our King as one who will become our King 20 years down the road. We're invited to think of him as King today. So the question is he your King today? Is he your Lord today, your sovereign today, your boss today, the one who calls the shots today, the one who tells you what to do today, what to think today, what to say today, the one who rules over your time today and your imaginations today? Is he king today? Yes, we're in this time where the kingdoms overlap and the kingdom of darkness is still around and the kingdom of heaven has started. And yes, it's true that there's this aspect of the kingship unfolding in a whole new dimension when Christ comes back the second time and ushers us into his heavenly kingdom. But right now we're living in part of that kingdom. Are you participating in it? I told you I'm heading down to the College of Prayer conference. About a decade ago, I was invited by the president of the College of Prayer, Fred Hartley, to join this little gathering of guys, mentoring time, getting together a few times a year. He called it the King's Gathering. And the guys he called to be with them, he said, "You're kings. So let's get together and learn how to be kings." I don't know how that strikes you guys in the room, people listening today. If God said, "I call you to be part of my kingdom," wouldn't that make you kings under the high king? Maybe you would think of it more as being a prince. But the reality is, those who are in a relationship with Christ, who are rescued by him, have his spirit living inside of you, now become kings under the high king. Now, if you're a king, you represent the high king. If you're a king, you go out under the orders of and the authority of the high king. If you're a king, you should live out that kingly role. Maybe you want to sit up a little straighter. Thank you. Maybe you want to straighten your coat a little bit. Maybe you want to think about the reality that God wants me to be a king. Last week we looked at Luke chapter 9, where it starts off by talking about Christ, Jesus, calling his disciples together and preparing them to be sent out to do ministry. And the ministry is pretty profound. He even said there to heal the sick and to deliver people from demons. We talked last week about how part of the kingdom is being delivered from the evil one. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. But before he sent them out, he gave them two things. And we talked about these two things. Two things that Jesus, the king, gave to his disciples before he sent them out. He says, "I give you power and authority." So continuing today, we say, well, that's got to be true for us every day then. That if we're kings under the high king, we need all that he gives us, and part of what he gives us is power and authority. I don't know how that's striking you right now, but could you breathe a little prayer? Say, "Lord, it seems too big, but I open my hands and say yes to receiving your power and your authority so that I might be a king under you." Now, women, it's true of you as well. The Bible is using masculine terminology there, but when it does, it's not excluding you. It's definitely including you. So you would be called queens in the kingdom of God. Fred's wife, Sherry, invited the wives of us guys to get together. I think they only got together one time. It was a little harder for the women to gather because they had different child care responsibilities and things, but they called it the Queen's Gathering. Because women are queens in the kingdom of God, with a role to play, with authority to exercise, with power to dispense. We're called to be royalty in the kingdom, not surpassing or supplanting the high king in any way, but underneath him living out our calling as royalty. And we do that every day. Give us today the sustenance we need. Give us today not just bread, but breath and energy and all that we require to not just live, but to honor you in how we live. Give us the ability to obey. Give us the faith to believe. Give us the ability to trust so we might do your will as we live out our kingship under you, our high king. In the book of Romans chapter 5, What's so interesting as you look at Scripture is how you can go back over something that you spend a whole bunch of time on already and see something afresh and anew from a new angle. We've been preaching through Romans for the past 2 years. In chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, "For if by the trespass of one man," that's Adam, "death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision," daily bread, "who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness," are you flowing? Catching the flow here? "How much more will those who receive this now reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" So what do the people do who receive from God His abundance, His provision, this grace, this righteousness? They will reign. They will rule. They will live out lives of power and authority. Those who have been redeemed are now called to live out God's calling in their lives as part of His kingdom, as ones who reign in life. And you're called to reign or live out your authority in a realm that God has assigned you. God gives people assignments, responsibilities, territories where your authority exists. Just as in the kingdom of darkness, there's principalities and powers and beings with authority, so in the kingdom of God, people are given reigns over certain territories and responsibilities. If you have a home with a spouse, with children, that's part of the territory God has assigned you. You're called to reign in your home, to exercise authority there as protector, as provider, as instructor, discipler. That's why we're having disciple making training, so you can be a disciple maker. Every parent has the responsibility to reign in their family and to disciple those in their family. Or if you have a place of work where you are called to work, you are given authority. You might not be the main boss there, but you are given a position in that company or in that business, and you have authority there to exercise. My wife is a teacher, and she has authority over her classroom. One of the things I'm so glad that she is aware of is the spiritual battle that exists. And sometimes I know she admits to me she forgets it and things just seem to be crazier than usual. Then all of a sudden she's reminded by God somehow that, oh yeah, I'm supposed to take authority over this. And she'll pray. And she'll declare. She'll both receive the blessing of God into her room and then release it into her room. And she'll exercise authority in her room and banish the enemy and his influence. And things change in the experience of that room. As your pastor, shepherd, you've entrusted to me authority. And so most Sundays I remember to exercise that authority as we begin our time together. And I banish and silence the enemy's voices and release to you blessing. How could I do something like that? Not because in my own ability or strength or wisdom I have anything to give, but because of the fact that I am a servant of the High King, I then exercise my authority in the realms God has called me to exercise it in. And you are a king under the High King. In Matthew chapter 16, 19, Jesus is speaking to his followers and he says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Keys are symbols of authority. When I was a teenager, maybe about Micah's age, my dad owned up in Erskine a farm machinery dealership. He sold tractors and combines and plows, but he also sold occasionally other things. He used to sell new cars, that wonderful brand, AMC. Oh. Pacers, Gremlins, Hornets, the things that started falling apart after they were 3 years out from the showroom. But eventually he knew I needed to earn my own keep. So he hired me as a janitor. So some nights I would go in there and mop the showroom. So I was given a key to the front door. But you know what also I could get to when I had the key to the front door? I could get to the room with the keys for other things. And every once in a while, something looked really interesting, like that new Camaro that somebody traded in. And I knew it just needed to be driven down the row of the plows and the combines and the used tractors and the repair lot. I never took it out on the road because I didn't have my license yet. But it went up and down the rows in between. And then one day someone traded in a motorcycle. Well, of course, that needed to be test driven. And I had access to the keys to that as well. Unfortunately, when I parked it back in the showroom, I forgot to turn off the valve from the gas tank, and it leaked all over the floor and caused all the tile glue to dissolve. And it was pretty obvious that someone had driven that motorcycle that night. But when I had the key given to me, I had access to other things. If God the High King is calling you to be his child, calling you to be a king or a queen in his kingdom, and giving to you keys, what all does that entail? What do the keys of the kingdom open up for you? Let me invite you to dwell on this, to mull this over, and ask your high king, what is he giving you? What keys is he giving you? What can you open up? What can you start up? What can you activate? What can you enjoy for a little while? And what responsibilities come with that? He's giving you power and authority. He's giving you opportunity to minister in his name. He's giving you the ability to bring healing to those in need, to bring deliverance to those in need, to bring encouragement to those in need. He's giving you the ability to speak his words of life into someone. It'd be like a seed that is planted that grows to be one of the largest plants in the whole garden. It might have been the smallest of seeds when you set it, but if it came from him, it'll grow and produce fruit 60, 100 times over. He said in Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom. Seek his kingdom first. Then all these other things will be added onto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The idea there is the same type of concept as the Lord's Prayer, where he says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what we need. Well, here at the end of that same chapter, he's bringing that same concept up, is that there's enough for today. There is the authority you need as you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness to get you through every situation, to bring his will into being in each and every situation. Maybe it would help to look at this from another angle. Look with me at the book of Ephesians for a minute. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to recognize current position versus future position or past position. Current position. The tenses of the verbs are extremely important in Scripture. In English, we have three tenses. We have past, we have present, we have future. In the Greek language, there's a few more. There's past perfect, something that happened and is completed. But there's also this thing that's something that happened and continues. Notice what happens and continues and is valid right now. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. What's all that? Past tense. We were all there. Some still are. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Something that happened and is continuing forward. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. Something that happened and is continuing. And God raised us up. Something that happened and is continuing. Raised us up with Christ. And where are we? Right now? What's our current situation? God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's your current status. That's your current position in God. He took you, who were dead in transgressions, who were an object of wrath, who were stuck and bound up and chained up with the enemy and all of his schemes, and set you free, delivered you, and raised you up out of that, and seated you a position of authority next to Him. Where? In the heavenly realms. Right next to God. Right next to Christ. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead. It's by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So maybe we ought to see ourselves there. Maybe we ought to think of ourselves not as a poor sinner shuffling along, but as someone that God loves so much, He grabbed us, pulled us up, cleaned us off, washed away our sin, and put us in a position of authority right next to Him, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. That means we're participants in the heavenly kingdom now. Right now. You're a king in the kingdom right now. You're a queen in the kingdom right now, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And now for a little while in this overlap of two kingdoms, He allows you to exist in the two realms so that you can be in a person who exerts His influence on the world. For a short period of time, for a few short years, you get to be His kings, His queens on earth, living out His power, His authority, as you're seated within Him in the heavenly realms, with responsibilities, with opportunities to bring Him glory, with people to influence, situations to change. I'm forgetting the text. It pops to mind as I started mentioning that time of being under Fred Hartley's mentoring in that King's group. We talked about how we're invited to ask of Me, God says, and I will give you the nations. Ask of Me, and I will give you the nations. In other words, we're called to have a role of authority over people groups. One of the things we're going to be talking about now for the next few weeks is trying to discern which people group God is calling us as a church to adopt, one of the persecuted churches in our world. Maybe it's China, maybe it's Cuba, maybe it's India, maybe it's Ethiopia, maybe it's Mexico, but we're being invited to adopt a persecuted church in one of these nations. And as we think that over, it's not us just dreaming, not just coming up with our own idea, but we want to know what is the realm over which God is wanting us to exert some authority. He said, ask of Me and I will give you the nations. So, Lord, we're going to ask. And maybe we're going to pray, say, Lord, give us China. If that's our assignment, we'll ask that in agreement with His will. And God does what He calls us to do. Because we are kings under His authority. Therefore, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we might receive all the mercy and all the grace that we need in the time of need. 53 times in the book of Matthew, or maybe it's 52, 43 times in the book of Luke, the word kingdom is used. Because we're called to be people of the kingdom today. Maybe you've seen video of a king being christened. Maybe it was a movie about old England. A king kneeling and receiving crown and a scepter. Well, you'll never be the high king. You'll probably never even be a king over an earthly realm in the natural, but in the supernatural, in the divine, in the kingdom of God, you are called to be a king. So would you reach out your hands and say, Lord, humbly, I receive my assignment as a king under you. I receive my assignment as a queen under you. Allow me to exercise your power and your authority for your glory. Help me to do it today. Would you pray with me the Lord's Prayer? Think about how we're going to say the word today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.